Sanhedrin, Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, 2-2, and now the Mishnah turns to the core topic of our Perek, which is the halachas regarding kings, Malchi Yisrael, kings of Israel. So the Mishnah is largely going to parallel the structure of the previous Mishnah. We start off by saying, HaMelech lo dan v'lo dan noso. A king cannot sit as a judge, nor is he judged by a court. Now, the reason why the king isn't going to be judged by a court is because we're afraid. We're afraid that the king will not listen to the court's ruling, and he'll flout the court, and that will undermine the authority of the court. And more than that, it actually happened once in the time of Yanai HaMelech, Alexander Janaeus, that there was a trial regarding his slave who had killed someone, and the Bezin there was Shimon Shetach, his brother-in-law, and basically the Bezin was afraid to cross Yanai, who was killing Pharisees left and right, the Prushim left and right, and therefore, essentially, a bunch of these judges died. So they made a din. So it's a din de Rabbanan that a king shouldn't sit and be judged in a court case because we're afraid of the consequences of him essentially flouting the authority of the courts. Now, that's a din de Rabbanan which only applies to kings who are not from the Davidic line. Like, for example, Yanai, who was part of the Beis Chashmonai, he was a descendant of like the Maccabees, the Hasmonean family, and they were actually turned out to be pretty much all bad seeds after the five brothers, largely. Now it's complicated. But anyway, let me get to that right now. The point is that this din de Rabbanan only applies to non-Davidic kings, but kings from the Davidic line, we assume that they would listen to the court because they're God fearing, and therefore they would indeed be allowed to be judged. Now, our Mishnah is saying that the king can also not serve as a judge. This is based on the idea that you have no right trying to rectify other people if you're not subject to being rectified yourself. It's based actually on a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Zephaniah. The pasuk says, "His koshishu v'koshu," and the Chazal darsh from that, this a famous line from Chazal, which is "Kashtu atzmechem v'achar kach kashtu acherim." First, rectify yourself, and then straighten out other people. And since we're saying that a king is exempt from being judged, so he has no place judging others. So that's applying again to the kings who are not from the Davidic line. Now, a king who is from the Davidic line could be judged, therefore he could sit as a judge. However, even a king from the Davidic line would not sit on the Sanhedrin Agadol. Now, the reason for that is sort of a bit of a logistic / halachic problem. It would be forbidden for any of the Dayanim to contradict the Melech. That's a Darshan Apasuk, which says Lo Sa'aneh Al Riv, which they Darshan Lo Sa'aneh Al Rav. So since you can't contradict the king, you'd have to wait to be the last one to speak at the end. The problem is that would mean the king waiting for 71 people to give their opinions, or 70 people, and that is not considered a kavod all to itself, and therefore, no, even a melech from Beis David would not be sitting on the Sanhedrin, although he could sit on a lesser court. Okay. Now, next you have lo me'id. He can't give testimony. V'lo me'id nel oso, and you can't give testimony against him. The king not giving testimony, that is similar to what we said in the previous Mishnah. It's not l'fi chvodo for the king to have to do that. So he's not going to participate. As far as not giving testimony against him, that's talking about a king who is not from the Davidic line, who isn't going to be tried in a court, and therefore you can't testify against him. But that wouldn't be the case if it comes to some court where there was a case involving a king. One could testify against him in that case. Now we go on to the topic of the chalitza issue. So like in the previous Mishnah, here we say, locholet v'locholten de ishto. Here, the king may not participate in chalitza, meaning he can't do the chalitza, unlike the Kohen Gadol who could, because it's not l'fi chvodo to spit in front of him. And locholten le'ishto, they don't do chalitza for his wife, meaning if the king dies without any descendants, they don't do chalitza for his wife, because the purpose of chalitza is to enable the widow to remarry somebody else, and as we'll see later on, it's forbidden for anyone to marry the king's wives, so therefore they have to remain sort of widows forever, so therefore there's no point doing chalitza for them. Also, lo miyabem, the king can't do yibum, meaning the king can't marry his late brother's wife. The reason for that is because the halachas of and the exegetically the psukim, they're interconnected. The mitzvahs of yibum and chalitza. Anyone who's exempt from chalitza would be exempt from yibum, so he can't participate in yibum. That's one reason given. Rashi has a different reason, which is it would be like a ganai, like a disgrace to the king to function as someone else's like substitute, and that's what's happening here. The king is, so to speak, like trying to do something substitute for his brother, and that's not considered to be mechubad for the king. Okay, v'lo miyabim le'ishto, and certainly no one could do yibum on his wife, meaning the widowed queen, because like I said before, no one's allowed to marry that woman. Now, on this, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, imratza lachalotz oliyabem zachur latov. Rabbi Yehuda says, if a king wants to participate in yibum or chalitza, meaning not this one's marrying the queen, but rather he's marrying his late brother's wife, or doing chalitza to allow her to be freed, that is permitted, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, although in general it is a bit of a ganai to have someone spit in front of you, but and the king can't forego his kavod, that was based on that pasuk of Som Tasim Alecha Melech, you shall place a king above you, and the pasuk doesn't say Som Tasim Alecha Melech, don't place for yourself a king, rather Alecha, above you. So there's a requirement the king should be always conceptually above a person, being afforded the proper kavod and yira. But says Rabbi Yehuda, yeah, but in the context of a mitzvah, that doesn't come into play. So since chalitza is a mitzvah, it's not forbidden for the king to participate in it. It's not kuli hai, not so much a disgrace that would override the fact that it's a mitzvah to do it. And therefore he says, if the king opts to do it, zechur latov, more paratum, God bless him, he'll have a blessing, he'll be remembered for good, literally. And since he's eligible to do chalitza, he could do yibum as well. All that notwithstanding, Halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda here. Okay, now, Amru lo, ein shomen lo, the rabbi said, no, we don't listen to him, the king, if he wants to forego his covenant. Okay, now, ve'ein nosin almanaso, no one is allowed to marry the widow of the king, like I said before. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, someone could, nosa melech almanaso shel melech. There's an exception. Rabbi Yehuda says the exception is that another king, a subsequent king, could marry a widowed queen, and he says that's actually a pasuk. Shekin matzino b'David. We actually have in the case of David, shenasa almanaso shel Shaul, because he married Shaul Hamelech, King Saul's widow, and that's a pasuk. Shneimar ve'ena lecha es beis adonecha ve'es neshe adonecha b'chekecha, which means Shmuel is saying to David, I'll give you, like, I'll call it the throne of your master, that's your base Adonecha, meaning the malucha, the kingship from Shaul HaMelech, ve'es neshei Adonech b'chekech, I'll call it the women or wives of your master, b'chekech, like into your bosom, you'll be able to take these women. So the point is, as far as Buddha is saying, it's a pasuk that the wives of Shaul can become the wives of David, black and white, end of story. However, the Tanakhama says, no, that's not referring to wives of Shaul, but rather the sort of eligible daughters, like Michal, the daughter of Shaul, who could marry David, but not his wife. The topic of Merav, they're covered in Machlokas. But the point is, Rabbi Yehuda says it's permitted for the subsequent king, and the halacha here is yes, like David HaMelech, actually like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore the king could marry his a subsequent king's widowed queen.